is love. Love is essential to who he is. Rather than viewing his love as proof of something worthy in us, we ought to be humbled by it. God's love for the reprobate is not the love of value. It is the love of pity for that which could have had value and has none. It is a love of compassion. It is a love of sorrow. It is a love of pathos. It is the same deep sense of compassion and pity we have when we see a scab-ridden derelict lying in the gutter. It is not a love that is incompatible with revulsion, but it is a genuine, well-meant, compassionate, sympathetic love nonetheless. The start. It turns out that the good news about salvation starts with the bad news about sin. As Jesus said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Paul knew that those who underestimate the enormity and gravity of human sinfulness, especially those who do not see their own depravity, cannot apply the only effective remedy to their problems. There can be no salvation for those who aren't convinced of the seriousness of their sin. There can be no word of reconciliation for sinners who remain oblivious to their estrangement from God. True fear of God cannot grip those who are blind to the depth of their sinfulness. And no mercy is available for those who do not tremble at God's holy threats. In other words, to attempt to eradicate the human conscience is one of the most spiritually destructive pursuits any individual or society can engage in. It results in God's wrath, not yet ultimate wrath, hell, or eschatological wrath, the day of the Lord, but temporal wrath. That is, he removes restraining grace and turns a person or a society over to the cycle of sin without the mitigating deterrent of conscience. This is the very judgment Paul spoke of at Lystra, when he said that God, in the generations gone by, permitted all the nations to go their own ways. Acts chapter 14, verse 16. That is Paul's main point in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. There he describes the judgment of God that results in humanity's decline into wanton sin. Notice that the most dramatic feature of his narrative is not the ghastly sins he names, although he chronicles some pretty gross practices, but the singular feature that marks each step of mankind's descent under God's wrath involves the hardening and decimation of the conscience. The conscience evident within.